This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow, live from Radio Row.
Radio Row.
At the Georgia World Congress Center. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, Super Bowl 53 Radio Row. As we continue along on SB Nation AM. So, by the way, Ron, I have to tell you that during the break, remember I said that I was like, all right, I got to go get some food? I got a donut. I got a donut with Oreo cookies on top.
It's a fan favorite. You can't, you know, I know you don't need it, but you have to, right?
I can't believe this. Like, I literally am like, there was a donut with Reese's Pieces on top of it,
yes,
too.
I would have gone that way. Now, you know, my favorite, and I mean, it's like an all-in-one breakfast is one of those donuts that's like maple on top with bacon.
Yeah, exactly. This is crazy. Like, I go to Dunkin' Donuts, I go to a donut place, I usually get like a chocolate or a cream filling or whatever. I've never had a donut with Oreo cookies crushed on top of the donut. Or Reese's Pieces, for that matter. This is insane.
So I know you said you grabbed the Oreo one. Are you going to go back and grab the Reese's Pieces one just for show content? Not because do it for the show, Tony.
Yeah, that's I might have to do that, but that would be two donuts in it.
Well, maybe not today. I'm sure they're going to have
maybe another
it tomorrow.
Day. Atlanta's best.
Yeah, we don't need you going on a sugar rush and then crashing.
Exactly. Can we talk about Tony Romo real quick? I want to get more into it. Tony Romo, yesterday CBS had its talent media availability where you could go talk to Jim Nance and Romo and Washburn and the guys that are doing the game on Sunday and just get their thoughts. And Romo he is one of the most popular media figures here in Atlanta. That guy's career is being absolutely resurrected by this job, isn't it? I mean, isn't it crazy how a guy who's just doing his job,
what
his broadcasting job so well, his image is going to dramatically change in the next couple of years. He's about ready to launch into super stardom of the broadcasting industry. We're talking on Madden level. It's SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The NFL canceled Maroon 5's press conference. Maroon 5 is getting some heat from the music industry for actually performing at halftime of the Super Bowl, an event that most musicians now hate because of the Colin Kaepernick treatment. So Maroon 5 had to cancel their press conference. What would have been the backlash if they... What would people... Were they afraid they're going to get asked questions about...
Why
cancel this press conference? I don't understand this.
Well, I mean, it's... And ideally, if you really look at it, the NFL halftime show or the Super Bowl halftime show really has nothing to do with the NFL except showcases during the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, these people, you know, everyone who's like having a backlash or, you know, slandering against the NFL because over the Colin Kaepernick situation, I guarantee they're still going to watch it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, why cancel this press conference? Just have the musicians come out and be like, "Yeah, all right."
Answer some questions. What, you know, everyone trying to get some insight of what's going to happen, what's going to perform. You know, maybe what should happen. You know, it's like Maroon 5 could probably. I bet you they've received some texts like, "Hey, at some point during your show, just take a knee." You know, because
that's exactly right. Right.
What is that going to solve? I mean, why aren't they going after Gladys Knight? For singing the national anthem.
Gladys Knight's probably like, listen, I'm from Atlanta. I'm here supporting Atlanta. I don't care about your stupid NFL protest.
Yeah, guaranteed she's not going to take a knee. She's going to sing it. She's going to sing a great. She's going to sing a wonderful. We're
she's
all going to feel
awesome.
That patriotic love.
Cancel the press conference from Maroon 5. Oh, what are we doing? What are we doing?
I have no idea.
I want to get back to...
You want to get back to that donut, right?
People.
No, let's get back to that donut.
Well, I'd love to get back to the donut. I mean, oh, by the way, speaking of the donut. So I brought up the fact that I had a donut. They had a donut with Oreo cookies crushed on top of it. And the donut is chocolatey. It's not like a standard dark chocolate donut, but it's chocolatey. And then there's cream inside the donut. So you get like an Oreo donut with Oreo on top of it. What are they doing? What kind of laboratory is this donut being created in?
They're trying to make sure that you get diabetes.
Yeah, I know, right? So when I go back, my doctor goes, well, your blood sugar took a huge spike. Where have you been? You don't even want to know.
What if it was one of those things, you know, like you look at your electric bill, you can go online and see like, oh, look, there was a spike in it. What if the same thing could happen with your food content?
I know, right?
The doctor looks at it and he's going back. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, you were pretty good for 3 days. And all of a sudden, it went off the charts. What happened?
What happened? Yeah.
You know, there were crepes at the aquarium. There was this Oreo donut. I don't know, man. Everything
was a
blur.
Candy buffet at the media dining on Monday. It was an Oreo top donut. Reese's Pieces top donut. I mean, I had two things of ice cream. There's this thing called King of Pops, which are like popsicles that are like homemade popsicles. It's too much.
Have you gone to the Coke Museum yet?
I have not gone to the Coke Museum.
Because that'll be another spike for you, right?
A friend of mine asked me yesterday. He said, so have you got to sample some of the, have you got to go on any of the great restaurants in Atlanta? I go, they feed you all the time here. Like, there's, you can't go get away from food.
Yeah, why are you why am I going to spend my own money?
I don't think I've spent a nickel on food. I think maybe on opening, when I first got to town, I got some pizza at one of the food courts. But since then, everywhere you look, there's food. They're always feeding you. It's crazy. It's unreal. And this is, like, for me, I got to be honest with you. I'll give you a little personal situation with me. Okay? I tend to eat way more I have hardly any food discipline. And that's my biggest problem is if I go to a place, let's say you have great chicken tenders, right? Some people can go to a place and be like, I'll take two chicken tenders. Oh, these are really good. They're meaty and juicy and they taste really good and good breading and good seasoning. And then they move on. I will go back and just get too much. I just keep getting more and more and more. I just overstuff myself when I get around really good food. And that's what I've been this whole time. Last night at the aquarium, one of the companies had wings, and I kept going back for more wings. And I think I had eight or ten wings when it was all said and done. I just can't stop. It's silly. I was telling you, I was so full when I went to bed last night, and I woke up starving, and I'm like, this is odd.
I mean, last night at the aquarium, were there a couple of booths that you went to, a couple of food stations you went to, and you just walk up and like, yeah, I'll take my usual?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what at the barbecue place. Like, I mean, I was like, I was trying to avoid getting the same server. Like this one girl was, you know, and I was like, I'm going to go to the other end of the table. Maybe they won't notice I've been back for like the fifth time. I mean, it's awful.
You walk
it's
up.
Awful.
I mean, it's, you know, you've already made a name for yourself. You know, kind of like Norm walking up to the Tony. Hey,
oh my God!
Here. Thank you.
My God, you can make a depressing song about my food eating here in Atlanta. And the sad old broadcaster eating his food. I mean, I am just eating nothing.
Well,
I mean,
you would have had
stuffing my face with chow.
Tony, you could have had that song made, had the Saints made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You would have had some blues guys singing for you.
Seriously, you could write a blues song about my horrible eating habits since I arrived here in Atlanta. Crazy. I mean, just unreal. I kid you not, and I'm going to keep repeating this. I'm eating a chocolate cream-filled donut with crushed Oreos on top of it. I can't deal with this.
I don't think you should be.
I'm going to come home unrecognizable. My wife's going to go, yikes, what's going on? Like, drink some water for crying out loud. Look at you. What happened to you in the week you were gone? My God.
Just don't feel
come
guilty.
Come in on a scooter? What is wrong with you? Can't even walk anymore?
Maybe that's what the scooter's for.
That's right. That's why I got to start taking them, because I'm starting to like get shortness of breath walking around this city now.
Matt, when did Atlanta get altitude?
Exactly.
Because that's what it is.
Stop eating 3,000 calories a day, fatso, and then you'll be fine.
Right,
that's what I'm seeing.
With the scooters, with the ability to rent a scooter in the city, are we getting closer to the movie WALL-E?
Totally getting closer to the movie WALL-E. Look, there's a literally, you walk around and there's scooters everywhere, and you're just, you know what, I don't want to walk anymore. Let me just grab a scooter and go. And then at night, people pick them up because they charge them, so they have to take them someplace to charge them. So you see late at night, you can see them getting picked up and all sorts of people just driving around picking up the scooters to charge them and then send them back the next morning. So I'm eating a lot and barely getting any exercise if I'm going to use those scooters around Atlanta. Absolutely nuts. All right, 800-777-2907. All right, I want to get to Aaron Donald and his presence on the Rams defensive line. We'll get to the Patriots and their offensive line, how they counter that, all the good stuff as we get ready for Super Bowl 53 that's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. This is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, I've been talking all week about Dante Scarnecchia, the Patriots offensive line coach, and I think one of the critical coaches on going into Super Bowl 53, how important he is in terms of getting his offensive line, who's done a fantastic job this postseason of keeping Brady upright, and that's kind of the key to Brady's success, right? He releases the ball quickly, he doesn't get hit, the offensive line does a great job of protecting him, right? And then, if you're looking for the Cliff Notes answer to, you know, Brady's struggles, it's always that interior pressure, right? Pressure coming in from up the middle. That's kind of the Cliff Notes answer. We all know that. We saw the Giants do it, right? That's kind of the book on Brady. It's kind of well known. But there's some truth to it in a lot of extent. So it's not that it's a quick answer to a complicated problem. It's, you know, it's one of the answers. So when you look at the Rams and the defensive front that they have, right, the unblockable Aaron Donald is going to be spotlighted. And if Dante Scarnecchia and you've got an offensive line that's playing very well, this is one of your tasks, is how do you keep Aaron Donald from basically wreaking havoc on your offensive line and getting to Tom Brady from that interior position. So you've got guards, you know, like Shaq Mason and Joe Thuney, who have got to be able to figure out how to double team him and how to keep him blocked, but nobody has. He's got 20 sacks this year, 20 and a half sacks this season. So he's Defensive Player of the Year. So that puts even more emphasis on the offensive game plan for Josh McDaniels. And I think that is where, and I talked about this earlier in the show, about the Patriot mystique. It's not like there is this sort of cloud around the Patriots that's, oh, what are they? How mysterious are they? They're not. What they do is they're just very well coached, and they game plan better than most teams. It's one of the reasons why they've gone to 9 Super Bowls with Belichick and Brady. It's because of the ability to take what you do best and neutralize it to some extent, not completely, but enough for them to capitalize on it. But this is going to be really hard for this offensive line. This is a really difficult task to not have Aaron Donald's presence on the defense neutralizing it. It's just unfathomable to think that they're going to be capable of doing that in some blocking scheme that's going to allow the Patriots to take advantage of that. I think Aaron Donald is going to be a presence in this game. My gut feeling, and it's been like this all week, and I hate making predictions because I'm terrible at it. We proved that this year with our bet DSI picks. I'm not very good at it, but I go with gut feelings a lot, and I think that's probably where I struggle in predictions. Because I get a feeling for a team, and I just go, man, there's something about it. I don't know. I can't pick against them. There's just something about it, about this team, that makes me think that they're going to win the Super Bowl. I had it last year with the Eagles, and I loved it because I told her – I was surrounded by people. When I was living in New Jersey, I was surrounded by people who were Eagles fans, and they were nervous going into the game, but they still had confidence. And I said, listen, I have a gut feeling on this Eagles team that I think is going to win this game. And when they did, I was kind of like, oh, man, I got this right. Because I picked Atlanta 2 years ago. I thought Atlanta would win the Super Bowl.
Ah, you were close.
Shame on me. As I was rolling along with a 28-3 lead, I thought, my God, I'm going to get this right. Nah. So this is going to be tough for me, Ron, because that would mean, given that I chose Atlanta and they lost and the Eagles that they won, this means I'm going 3 straight years going against the Patriots?
Well, that might be the Steeler in you.
Based on gut feeling?
That could be the Steeler in you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Is that it?
It could be.
That might be it. See, there's really no rational reason for me to go against the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm not giving my prediction. I'm saving that for Friday.
Well,
I'll throw out my prediction.
I'm going to say this because it's, you know, because I feel that I'm giving a feeling of every day, like Market Watch, right? Where is Tony's gauge for the Super Bowl as the week goes on? And then Friday, I'll finally lay it out. And I could be swayed back to the Patriots.
Oh, you could be. I mean, that could be the Oreo donut talking. We don't know.
Who knows? If I finish this Oreo donut, I might be just speaking in another language by the time we get to hour 3.
You might be saying, like, Saints were robbed!
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm talking really fast.
No, but I believe that is one of the key to the games. I mean, it has to be one of the key to the games. I mean, you know, how much pressure can this Rams front line put on Brady? Because, let's face it, no one has been able to really put tremendous amount of pressure on Brady.
Yeah, and exactly. And if you do that, you give yourself a very good shot, right?
Yeah, get him running around. Get him scared.
His quarterback rating against strong pressure, it really is a massive difference between when he's getting pressure outside and can step into the pocket rather than up front. But again, Josh McDaniels devises great offensive schemes to counter all this, right?
So and Wade Phillips. Let's give the old guy some credit.
That's where I'm going from. Because I was talking to I was on a friend's radio program yesterday afternoon, and he asked me, he goes, you know, like, give me your thoughts on this game. And I told him, but basically what I'm telling you, there's a gut feeling inside that says Rams for nothing. I mean, for no other reason. There's just this feeling with the Rams. But I think if I were to boil it down, and I would narrow it down, it's not Sean McVay. It is Wade Phillips. I love Wade Phillips, and I think that is where I'm going with this gut feeling. His ability to say, hey, look, I've been around this league a long time, and I know the tools I have defensively, and I know what the Patriots are going to do and continue to do and the adjustments they make, and I've got guys that can counter that. I've got a scheme that can counter that, and I think that's the important thing for me.
Right. Well, I mean, you said it
is Wade Phillips. I think it's him rather than anybody else.
Well, that's what I mean. We said it either last week or it was earlier this week that could be your real MVP. Obviously, he's not going to get the MVP. You know, coaches don't win the MVP, but that could be your MVP. Is how Wade Phillips his defensive scheme against the Patriots offense.
And if he does, I'll be curious because remember, Bill Belichick really took off as a name after the Super Bowl against the Bills, right? Because at the same time that you are running the clock, right, keeping the Bills offense off the field, Belichick still devised a great game plan against the Bills in that Super Bowl, right? I mean, so Belichick did a magnificent job in that particular Super Bowl. For me, Wade Phillips could get that kind of same level. Now, he already has one with the Denver Broncos, winning a championship there. But this could be one of those Super Bowls where if his defensive game plan really helps neutralize the Patriots, and that's hard to do. It's the Patriots don't get blown out in these games. They don't get completely smothered in these games. But if it's enough, then you might hear that this is the Wade Phillips Super Bowl. This is the Super Bowl where he really devised this game. Just like Super Bowl 50, when they completely took Cam Newton and the Panthers out of their game and out of their rhythm with Von Miller and company. He might do the same thing with Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue and the guys that he has there. So I think this is key. I said this at the beginning of the week, and it's not because I'm buying into this matchup because it's the matchup. But I like this Super Bowl because if you look at these coaching angles, I think they tell a story. I think they tell a great story coming up on Sunday. Dante Scarnecchia against Wade Phillips in terms of offensive line versus defense, fascinating to me. It just that's just me. I mean, I'm geeked out on that kind of stuff, right? Josh McDaniels and his offense going up against Wade Phillips. Just Sean McVay going up a defense that Belichick has a hand in, even as a head coach with Brian Flores. To me, I geek out on these kind of things. I know we get player to player, and I get it. Brady versus Goff, right? Gurley and Sony Michel, the two Georgia running backs, right? Aaron Donald getting to Brady. Name your matchups, right? Gronk against whoever it is. I get that. But to me, I geek out over the coaching because I think the coaching brilliance of both of these teams is something to really study and is something to really look at if you like those kind of things. And I do. I really think to see Wade Phillips devise a defensive plan, a game plan, that he's going against an offense that, as we've said all week, will beat you any way they can beat you, any way that you are capable of being beaten, right? Physicality, great. If you want to bring physical front, we're going to swing the ball to the outside. We're going to attack. We're going to attack your speed corners, right? You want to go with speed like the Chargers did? You got 7 defensive backs, and you got fast. Okay, great. We're going to run the ball, continue to run the ball, and pound it down your throat. Now we're going to pick up yardage. We're going to do 15-play, 80-yard drives. Right, eating up 6-7 minutes at a time. Or do you want us to fling it down the field? We can fling it down the field too. That's what the Patriots, that's the versatility of their offense. And we know the versatility of the Rams offense. I mean, we know what Sean McVay does with all sorts of plays, the way that those plays can be devised, you know, a simple sweep to the left. There's all sorts of options with McVay's offense that are not standard among other teams, right? That's one of the innovations that McVay has been bringing to the NFL, that idea that a simple play like a runoff tackle, oh, no, wait, we can do that. But we can also do this if we move this receiver and move this receiver, and we can also add a little wrinkle to that. That's the brilliance of McVay. So, again, the coaching of the Super Bowl, to me, I just love the storyline of it. I love the old school versus new school, even though it's not really that. I mean, you wouldn't call the Patriots an old school offense, right? You wouldn't. That's not really what they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because when you go old school, new school, your immediate thought is old school, Bill Belichick; new school, Sean McVay. But really, it almost feels like old school Wade Phillips, new school Josh McDaniels.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Exactly. The Patriots are old only because they've been in the Super Bowl. It's not because they have an old system, right? They're doing it
Their system is probably more innovative than anything because they have to keep changing it. They change it all the time. And then when you think about it, you know, it's like most teams, most offensive teams have like the same quarterback with his weapons year in, year out. I mean, this is probably the first time in a long time where the Patriots have consistently had, like, you know, Edelman and Gronk. You know, two guys, two targets for Brady to consistently throw to. Because before that, it was just like there was a new receiver, a new person to throw to every single day. Like, it felt like week in, week out, oh, we got someone new. Let's utilize him somehow, some way.
I could see myself leaning towards the Patriots by the end of the week with more analysis. My gut is telling me Rams only... just gut. That's all it is. It's all I got.
it's a gut.
I think it's going to be great. I don't know, man. I've gone back and forth on that too, right? I don't.
Because I
there's
look
no
at it,
reason why I want the. There's no reason why I would want. I want the Rams.
No,
to
there's
win the
no. Because I mean, Rams don't have fans. Although,
right?
According to a recent report I saw, there are more Rams fans who have bought tickets for the Super Bowl than Patriot fans.
Really? That's a fascinating study.
Or let me back that up. More people from L.A. have bought tickets to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Versus,
but still,
let me not say Ram fan because they could be Patriot fans who just live in L.A.
And it's possible there's a lot of Patriot fans here who don't have tickets to the game and they're just experiencing the Super Bowl and then they're getting out of town.
Exactly.
Because
for you, you said that you feel that there's more Patriot fans.
Yeah, I do. Walking around the city, I feel like there's more Patriot fans. I see more Brady jerseys than I see Rams jerseys. And at the media night, everyone there knew that the Patriots were outnumbered the Rams fans to that little event. I mean, it was 10,000 people there or whatever it was. So that was the case. But that doesn't mean they have tickets, and it doesn't mean they're showing up to the game. You could come down here, have a great, fun week of Super Bowl fun, and then leave town before the game. And that may exactly is what happened.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. This is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, Radio Row, here in Atlanta for Super Bowl 53. Congratulations to the University of Georgia. They got two of the more prominent players in the game in Todd Gurley and Sony Michel, running backs for both teams. Still curious as to Todd Gurley's status for the game on Sunday. The Rams say he'll be fine. He'll be the Gurley of old. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, that's what you would say. I mean, if you were the Rams, you don't come out and say, oh, man, he just doesn't look the same. We don't know. We don't think he'll play much. You would just go, we expect him to play. You could say that.
Say, so, you know, he
Belichick
has a bit
wouldn't
of a
believe
nut.
You either way.
Yeah, he's you Belichick could go either way. Care.
Belichick would be like, I'm preparing for Gurley to be super, you know,
but
super
to a lesser coach, if
up.
You came out and said, you know what? He's got a twisted ankle of. Plantar fasciitis, you know, throw some weird, crazy name on it. You might sit there and go, okay, you know, maybe they're going to more go C.J. Anderson more. They have the last couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, Gurley has
they
a
have.
Big day.
Yeah, right? Can you imagine if you're Sean McVay and you kind of talk about, oh, yeah, he can barely walk. Super Bowl Sunday, he has 32 carries.
He's getting around on those motorized scooters.
Like, he can barely stand on those. He's like, just as a brilliant game on Sunday. If you're the NFL, you call McVay into New York and you sit him down and you go, you never do that again. Here's a massive
sure, there,
go enjoy your Super Bowl.
Then they
go enjoy your
in.
Super Bowl championship, but we're taking a lot of money.
Yeah, then the NFL steps in. Come on.
then the NFL steps in and we have Super Bowl Sunday part two. The Patriots get another week to prepare. Like, that's great. Man, oh man, so fun. It's like, you know what's funny? You know how people get riled up at players, like on Twitter, when a player doesn't have a good game because fantasy football is their thing, right?
Yep.
Like, you cost me a win.
Well, we
in the
always get the
you didn't score three
and we
touchdowns.
Always see the tweet from the player going, you know, after he's had a bad game, he's like, I don't care about your fantasy stats.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, if you
Wait
said that. Why didn't you say that when you had a good week?
Yeah, exactly. What, when you have a good week, do you ever say, like, I'm glad those of you who put me on your fantasy team, I was able to contribute to your win or your success?
But really, I don't care.
Yeah. Right, not I don't care. But imagine how ratcheted up it's going to be when people can legally have bets on games. And you fail or you fumble at the goal line or things like that. I mean, it's all, you can already do it because there's a lot of people betting, but... Man, when you have the legalized betting,
when it's finally across the board from sea to shining sea.
Exactly. I'd turn off my Twitter account. Are you kidding? You're a quarterback. You throw three interceptions in a game, and all of a sudden
I just follow all teams, players. It's like, I don't need to hear this noise.
I don't need this.
Just give me the
highlights.
Some
guy in Detroit who lost $40,000 I'm betting on your game.
People jumping off of bridges and buildings. Like, come on.
How much money do they say has been on the Super Bowl every year? Like, it's in the billions, right?
I think it's in the billions. Just ridiculous.
It's like an estimate, because obviously you can't
The cost of one Super Bowl commercial. I think that's what the payout is.
Goodness gracious. So, yeah, if you're Sean McVay and you kind of give out a false, you know, Patriots do this all the time. They're like, everybody's questionable, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He's questionable.
Tom Brady questionable for the Super Bowl. Okay.
Yeah. No, Tom Brady's not going to play? Really? That's amazing.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Let's start
that
rumor. See how fast that rumor flies around.
Yeah. Who's the backup quarterback? How is he playing? Oh, my God.
Yeah, and who is the backup quarterback for the Patriots?
I have no idea.
Now you brought it up. Man, I hate looking things up.
It's not going to be around here much longer.
Exactly.
But if Todd Gurley is healthy, and again, 2 weeks, you know, listen, maybe he was banged up enough and 2 weeks is enough to heal. That's fine. If he is healthy, boy, I tell you right now, with him and C.J. Anderson, if both are a go, and he played good against, there's the thing, Gurley did play good against the Cowboys, right? He might have tweaked it enough that he was limited against the Rams, although the Rams, or Sean McVay is sort of, countering it. I mean, against the Saints, he played well against the Cowboys. He gets to the Saints. Sean McVay sort of played it off and said, this is more on me rather than his health. And I get it. You don't you don't spill too many beans. You try to keep everything close to the vest.
And maybe it was. Maybe it was him saying, you know, we have enough. You know, C.J. Anderson is good enough to get to satisfy our needs. And maybe it is just more of like, you know, I'm saving Todd Gurley. I don't want to risk an injury. Maybe it was one of those situations.
I can't buy that. No, because it's the
game
like is on the
young
line.
Coach idea to say
that's true. That's true.
Gurley
was the NFL rushing leader until he got hurt, right? Because now I think he finished third in the league, but he lost the last 2 weeks of the season, so you know can't get momentum from that. But at one point, I mean, for most of the season, he was the NFL's leading rusher. The idea that if you have that guy and he's healthy. And you're saving him for what? You were losing the NFC Championship game for most of the game until you came back. So I don't with the season, you know, let him heal up when it's over, like when the season's over. So I don't know why you wouldn't play him. That's what made it so curious that he didn't see if he was healthy. If you're not telling me he's hurt, if you're not going down that he was still banged up, then what exactly? Is he? What exactly was his status for the game? Because with the Super Bowl on the line, you weren't using him, and maybe offensively you liked what C.J. Anderson was bringing, but I can't imagine that Todd Gurley healthy hurt you in any capacity or was detrimental to you in any capacity. Like you, of course you would use him if he's healthy. He's one of the top rushers in the league when healthy, but. This weekend, I've been thinking that he's hurt. Like I've been thinking that he's more hurt than we realize, than maybe people know. So
maybe
see you on Sunday.
I wouldn't put it past that maybe they're just saving him just a little bit. You know, using him because I mean they were doing their thing. Okay. I mean, it kept it close.
Oh, no doubt.
They obviously needed a no call pass interference to really get over that hurdle. But I wouldn't put it past McVay to say, you know, it's like I don't want to use him. I don't want to overuse him just because C.J. Anderson has been performing well, has been playing well the last couple of weeks. And, maybe this will be Todd Gurley's breakout party. You know, almost getting him like not saying giving him 3 weeks off, but it's almost like a 3 week off scenario from the last time they really, really used him.
Yeah, because they're two different runners, so I thought with Sean McVay, I think you would want a Gurley type.
Oh, yeah,
back
no, me saying it out loud, I totally doubt what I'm saying. I'm just like, I'm just saying, like, hey, you know what? Maybe I wouldn't put it past McVay.
I like the boldness. That's still mind-boggling to me too. Like, I got to be honest with you. This is a very eye-opening Super Bowl for age, right? for Tom Brady, 41 years old, can't believe it. Sean McVay, 33-year-old head football coach with 2 years experience.
Yep.
I mean, you know what it really does.
You know what it really does, and let's address the elephant in the room. It really puts most of you millennials to shame.
Unbelievable. You guys are failing miserably.
You guys just hanging out in a coffee shop waiting for something to be handed to you so you can do something. Here's a guy who's your peer, who's your in your era. He made something of himself. Come on. Get out there, millennial.
I can't believe Sean McVay is not only a head coach at 33 years old, but he is not a veteran head coach, but this isn't his rookie year.
No, and he has a coaching tree already.
He has a coaching tree already. Like, this is impressive. Because you know what? It's like if you're a young actor or a young writer, right? Remember when Matt Damon and Ben Affleck won an Oscar?
Yes.
They actually won an Oscar. But it was because they wrote Good Will Hunting, right? And that was impressive because they were young guys and, you know, Affleck's acting ability as a young age was always scrutinized. You know, Damon, you kind of expected some best things. But it was impressive that these two young guys wrote a really good story and a really good screenplay. Sometimes when you're an athlete, you're going on your God-given ability. You don't know how to handle it. You're not mature enough. You know, we talked to Ryan Leaf yesterday, and he admitted all that. You know, he's 6'5", built, could throw a football a mile, but those are God-given abilities that you kind of have to hone and you kind of have to process, you kind of have to mature, and at a young age to get success, you have to kind of figure it out. I've got this talent. How do I use this talent? How do I handle this talent? To be a young coach in this league, to be a 33-year-old head football coach, is more impressive because, one, the route to that means you're kicking butt all the way up, like impressing everybody along the line. And, two, that's some work, man. That is some work to get the knowledge that you need at this level to be able to run an NFL team effectively and to be able to be hired at 31 years old to do this job. Listen, when I was 31, you couldn't get me to manage like a paper route. Are you kidding me? I mean, the idea that I could run an NFL team as a head coach, even if I had the ability, even if you took his brain and put it in my brain but gave me my same personality, I wouldn't be able to do it. I just wouldn't be able to handle all of the other outside forces that go on your team. Even if you gave me football knowledge, if you put in my brain head coaching football knowledge, the personality and how to handle that. At 31, I didn't have the maturity to do that.
And that's the thing, too, is that, you know, there's, assuming he got out of school, you know, at the ripe old age of 24, like most people are, you know, between 22 and 24, because that's where most people finally finish school, right?
Right.
The acceleration that he's had from, you know, say, you know, from grad assistant coach to, you know, being, I don't even know what his resume looks like as far as, you know, coaching stops along the way. But he accelerated to the top fast.
Fast, really fast.
And that's what's impressive. I mean, most of the time when you're 31 years old, you're just hoping to get you're hoping to be in charge of just one group of players.
Exactly.
Or maybe you're like a, you know, OC or DC in the college game.
But, and if I remember correctly, because I remember years ago, about, what, 10 years ago when Lane Kiffin got hired by the Raiders. He was a young guy. I think he was 32, 33 when he got hired by the Raiders. He was the offensive coordinator at USC. And a lot of people were like, really, though? I mean, Al, really? I mean, this kid, I mean, brilliant mind, come Monty Kiffin's young son. But, wow. Sean McVay, I never felt like people said that. People were like, no, it's a good hire. That's a good hire. That kid really knows what he's doing. That guy really is one of the smart young guns in the league. I mean, he kind of got a different young guy kind of approach. Gruden was a young coach. Gruden was in his 30s when he got a head coaching gig. But 31, man, that's really impressive.
See, I mean, here's the thing. He went to Miami University in Ohio. Right.
Played in the MAC.
Graduated in 2007. All right. I'm just going to assume he graduated. No, he graduated from Miami in 2008. His first job out of college was assistant wide receivers coach with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow.
And then he went
to... Wasn't his dad in the league?
He had some connections. It says John McVay.
Was
the head coach at the University of Dayton.
John McVay was a coach. He was also worked with the front office.
His grandfather was general manager for the Niners.
He had the in, but he still had to earn the in.
Right? Yeah, but I mean, that was his first job out of college, assistant wide receivers coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And then
he went to the Florida Tuskers and then to the Redskins, where he quickly accelerated from assistant tight ends coach to tight ends coach to offensive coordinator. And now here we are.
That's amazing. And 33 is in the Super Bowl.
So basically, fantastic. I mean, you know, have skill, but also have nepotism.
You know that picture? I retweeted a picture Darren Rovell had of Tom Brady in his first Super Bowl and Tom Brady in his last Super Bowl. I hope he's got a picture of Sean McVay today that we can use 25 years from now when a grizzled old Sean McVay head football coach returns to the Super Bowl.
Losing some hair, maybe a little beard gut going on.
Weathered, right?
I'm not saying he's got a balloon. He's not going to be as big as Andy Reid, but we don't want him to still have his great looks being in L.A. Right?
Exactly.
That's because life is unfair then.
800-777-2907 if you want to get your thoughts in on the Super Bowl. We are live from Radio Row in Atlanta on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could join us here on SB Nation Radio as we're continuing live from Atlanta Super Bowl Radio Row, getting ready for the game. Patriots, if they win, it would be Tom Brady's sixth Super Bowl championship. The Patriots, it would be 6-5 in appearances all time. The two that they had prior to Brady Belichick, 6-5. The Rams are a little bit more, it's not complicated because it's still the same franchise. They have a Super Bowl victory in 2000 against the Titans. They have a loss to the Patriots. They also have a loss as the LA Rams to the Steelers. So a win would put them at 2-2 as a franchise, 1-1 if you just want to go LA Rams and totally forget St. Louis, which is actually sad because St. Louis is not a city that should be completely forgotten.
You know, what also is really sad about all that? If Brady was to lose, he's lost his fourth Super Bowl, putting him in the realm of, you know, like, I think, what, Jim Kelly, Elway?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But we won't even consider him in that realm.
No, that's a good point. You know what's funny about that, too, is I saw this meme yesterday, and it had a picture of Joe Montana, and it showed, like, Montana's stats against Brady's stats, and, like, still think you're the greatest ever. And I'm like, you're telling me that a guy's four-game record in the Super Bowl somehow has to be compared to a guy's eight game appearances in Super Bowls. Like, Montana didn't throw an interception, but I guarantee you, if you throw four more games of Super Bowl games, he'd probably have one or two. Like you're asked, like, Brady's statistics are skewed because his body of work is so tremendously large in the Super Bowl.